Welcome to Randomania! It's a podcast where we select a WrestleMania match
at random,
and then we talk about it. That's right. And then joining me this week, as always, my brother Matt. Let's go.
Hello, Bradley. I realize that we never introduce you, Brad. We just say, hey, it's Matt. And then we never talk and like say, oh, by the way, you're Brad. So, hi, Brad. Good to see your face and hear your voice and hear your face and see your voice. No. How's it going, man? How's your day going today? We're at three in a row.
We are at three in a row. My day is going fantastic. The sun is shining. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Pretty much my third favorite Sunday of the year after Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Super Bowl. Somewhere in there. I mean, last week I ranked right at Royal Rumble as number two ever, so I guess, you know, it's nice to have them back to back. But yeah, we're rolling. Speaking of top three, this is the third best recording we've had so far.
For sure, yeah, maybe a rocky start that people haven't heard, but you know, here we go. Drink that Budweiser. Steve Weiser? There you go. Steve Weiser. See, it's a wrestling podcast. You got to bring everything back to wrestling. Hey, speaking of the Royal Rumble last week, did you happen to see me in the Thunderdome?
Yes, I did saw you in the Thunderdome. It was so funny, the story, because I'm sitting there asleep on the couch during the match, and I kind of dozing off. My wife's like, hey, isn't your brother supposed to be in there? And I open my eyes, and I look up, and I'm like, yeah, there he is right there. There you were.
Like, really? And I was really only on, yeah, for real, man. And I was really only on screen for the introductions for the Kevin Owens Roman Reigns match, because then it's a false count anywhere match, and then they were never back in the arena, and then that match ended, and I logged off.
Yeah, so great time to be in the Thunderdome when they're literally not showing it at all.
I know, horrible timing, but at least I'm on there. I mean, I could have stayed on, and I would have been in that spot, and it was a good spot, and I would have been shown a lot during the Men's Royal Rumble match, but then I wouldn't have been able to Skype with you and watch the Royal Rumble, the Men's Rumble match with you. So I chose you over the Thunderdome and a lifelong legacy that I can look back on. So I hope you're happy.
You chose me over immortality, which I appreciate.
In wrestling sense, I should have turned on you and ignored you and stayed in the Thunderdome. And then it could have been like, I don't know, what brothers feuded.
I don't. Well, we know about a couple of tags.
Matt and Jeff.
Yeah, sure. They feuded. Christian and Edge.
Kayfabe Brothers.
Yeah, exactly. I'm down with Kayfabe Brothers, too. So anyway, we're talking wrestling today, like we always do in this podcast. We select a WrestleMania match randomly. What did we get this week, Matt?
We got match number 92. And match number 92 is Shawn Michaels versus El Matador Tito Santana from WrestleMania 8.
That's right. WrestleMania 8 from the Hoosier Dome. Later called the RCA Dome in Indianapolis, Indiana. I feel like an underrated WrestleMania as a whole.
I'd agree.
I mean, this has its missteps. There's an 8-man tag in there that it's just, you know, what are you going to do? Like, that's when they're still trying to figure out how to get everyone in the car but only have a 3-hour show, you know.
You know, weirdly, this is like our third or fourth match from this WrestleMania. This is actually our fourth match that we've talked about from WrestleMania 8. Did you know that?
I did not, but it's not my favorite Mania, so I guess that's why it doesn't stick out. Like, I don't know, it's...
I like it. I mean, this is the height of when we were watching wrestling, too. We think about it, 1992. This was on April 5th, 1992, so being 12 and 9 that we were at the time, like, I think this was pretty into it at this point. I would say maybe a little on the down skid because I didn't really watch much more from like maybe 93 to 96-ish. I mean, I still did, but nothing like I did here being 12. But I think this was still right in the wheelhouse of when we were watching, like, you know, Primetime every Monday and Superstars and All-American Wrestling, I think, every weekend. At least for me. Would you say yeah for you?
I would feel like we still got magazines from that era. You know what I mean? I think that's a good sign. Then we have in our collection, WWF magazines from 92, so it feel like we were still pretty into it. At least I was, or you were, we both were, however, but was that kicked in?
Yeah, I just don't think we were as ardent fans as we had been, you know, in the probably 5 to 8 years before that. So, you know, 90, 91, 92, I think were the big years where, you know, all the toys, all the magazines, going to shows at Green Bay. And that was, so this is, I'm just trying to say, like, this was still in our pretty epic fandom back in the day. So,
Yeah, but this is like the how 2001 is in the Attitude Era, where it's like you've reached the peak and now what? 92 is kind of the peak of this Hogan era, where we're like, okay, now what? You know, there was sort of a transition era a bit, because there's a lot of guys, new stars coming up. You know, by the end of 92, Bret Hart was going to be a world champion.
Well, Shawn Michaels.
Well, yeah.
This match is a perfect example. You kind of have the new guard and the old guard, right? Shawn Michaels had been there, but then now he's just, which we'll talk about a little more in a minute, kind of coming into his own and getting that little push. And you got your guy that's been there for 10 years already, kind of on his way out of the company. So this is exactly what you're talking about, kind of that transition period. Like the post rock and wrestling stuff, that was huge, you know, with the Hogan Andre thing. You're right, being, you know, 2002 was kind of the same thing, right? 2001, just getting out of the Attitude area, and you got the guys that had been here and new guys coming in, and a lot of audience members that were watching and just dropped out because it wasn't as in vogue as it had been. So you're exactly right. So, but this, I mean, this being the opening match of WrestleMania 8, I mean, there's 62,000 people there. 62,167. Like, that's a lot of people in 1992 still, you know?
Well, 62,000, etc. eventually, because I was pointed out at the beginning of the match when they're coming out. This was my fun WrestleMania 8 fact, was that this was the Sunday after the time change, which Indiana, I don't know if they do now or still don't, but the state of Indiana was one of those states that didn't recognize daylight savings. So that's where the confusion came in. So it was billed to be at such and such a time, but even in Indiana, they're like, wait, like that can be confusing because they, you know, the time changed for everybody else but them.
So this match, if you want to talk a little bit about how these two had a WrestleMania match in the first place, little tough to find information on, like, why they were feuding. The only thing I could find, and I guess it's logical for the time, is they eliminated each other in the 1992 Royal Rumble.
Sure, that's all you need.
Yeah, so Shawn Michaels had just turned heel, coming off the Rocker split up, where one of the greatest segments in the history of professional wrestling ever, Shawn Michaels throws Marty Jannetty through the window on the barbershop, and Bobby Heenan's greatest line ever. He tried to jump through the window to escape.
Jannetty tried to dive through the window to escape.
It's literally the greatest thing I've ever seen in wrestling still to this day. So that Michaels had just become a heel. He was just getting, like, that. Literally, that breakup aired on January 11th, 92. So they were, like, not even 3 months of heartbreak kid Shawn Michaels, because they changed his look. He started growing chest hair. He got new gear. He's now known as the heartbreak kid Shawn Michaels. Sherry Martel is his manager. And they, do you remember this? Sometime during the card after a Shawn Michaels match, Bobby Heenan or the heel announcer, whoever that was, would say, "Shawn Michaels has left the building."
Yes, I remember that now. That's great.
And then usually Gorilla would be like, "Who cares? Who cares?" And Heenan gets all, it's just Heenan and Gorilla. It's just perfect. So that's right where we're standing with Shawn Michaels going into this. Tito Santana had just, not too long before this, started doing the El Matador gimmick, late 1991. So he was Tito Santana. He'd been working there for about 10 years, man. I think it was like 83 when he signed. And, you know, former Intercontinental Champion, former Tag Team Champion, had his pretty good run with Martel, broke up from that, was a pretty strong babyface, was in the finals of the Intercontinental Tournament in 1990. He lost, but he was in it. So, I mean, he's still getting a pretty good push to come to 91, get a little more character out of the guy, and they make him El Matador. So here's where we are. They eliminate each other at the Royal Rumble, and now that apparently warrants a WrestleMania match.
Excellently summarized there, brother.
Did you know any of that? Did you even know any of that?
No. I mean, yeah, I know about the El Matador gimmick. It had only been around for a short time. And I know that Shawn Michaels, obviously, I knew had recently become the sexy boy, but not so much like exactly dates and such. You know, and then the fact that they eliminated each other at the Royal Rumble. Okay, well, if that's all, that's all. I mean, I think like what it was really probably billed as was like, Tito, like, has been here forever, and he's getting his WrestleMania payday against, and you can put over Shawn Michaels, who we're trying to, you know, build up as a heel. So it's a good, perfect combination of, it made sense, like, oh, Tito's like a veteran. He could win this match against Shawn Michaels, and, like, who's Shawn Michaels anyway, you know? So it's a good proving spot for Sean. Good hand to work with in Tito. Although, you know, he's fine, right? I mean, he's probably better. Tito's old at this point. Was he probably? Was he older or younger than you at this point?
Oh, shit. We haven't done this game in a long time, man. Hold on. Wax, let me look. I'm going to Wikipedia right now, and I'm going to look up Tito Santana. I'm going to guess. If you had to guess, would you say he's... I would say he's younger than me. During WrestleMania, Tito is probably younger than I am now, honestly. But then again, I don't know. Cause so he worked for WWF in like 78, 79, left, came back in 83. So he... I mean, if you just do math...
Yeah, he's got to be... I'm guessing he's mid-40s in this, but...
He's born May 10th, 53. So if this was 92,
yeah,
he had not yet turned... Oh, fuck, I think he's... I mean, I just turned 41.
He's 39.
Fuck.
This body, this vessel you're in now is older than Tito Santana's vessel in this WrestleMania 8 match.
Which sucks, man, because, like, I consider him an old guy, but he looks good. He's still built, but he's I mean, when you look at the card as a whole, he's one of the older guys on there. Fucking goddamn it! Fucking explicit lyric, fucking podcast bullshit. Fucking, I don't want to do this anymore.
Age is just a number.
What you were saying is exactly right. They need somebody that is established and a good hand that can lose to Shawn Michaels and help get Shawn Michaels' heel personality over. Or in the same token, who is believable as the veteran to beat this young upstart dude that thinks he's harder than shit, and it's not really going to hurt either of them. And it's perfect that it's kind of Tito Santana just for Shawn Michaels. So, yeah. Shawn Michaels, I'll start with Tito first. Tito Santana comes out first to one of my favorite all-time entrance themes ever.
Agreed. You want to hear it?
Yeah, can we?
Yeah, it's here right here. Yep, it really is.
I love that music. Even Gorilla Monsoon's like, great music, or whatever he said at the end of this. He's like, I love that music, or something.
Yep.
I do have a weird question. Mm-hmm. What's the furry thing that he's carrying in his hand? What is that?
I don't know. I always think it was like his hat. But
maybe. I Googled it, and I can't find... I literally Googled, like, what's the furry thing that Matador's carried, and Google had no idea what I was talking about.
They're like, here's more info on furries.
Yeah, not my Google history. It's like I get weird ads on all kinds of websites. No, I don't want to forget to mention that the America the Beautiful had just got done being sang by Reba McEntire. And Bobby the Brain Heenan says, oh, Tito's sister with a great rendition, Reba McEntire.
Yeah, classic. And then he makes sure to hammer it again 3 minutes later just to make sure he got it. Hey, did you hear my Reba McEntire joke? But
Reba McEntire, will you be serious?
So, it's Reba.
It's Reba. And he does correct himself. So, yeah, we got Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon calling this match, which is half the entertainment factor for the 10 minutes plus of the match. I mean, the match is what it is, and we'll talk about it a little more here. But, like, Heenan... It's worth seeing this match just for Heenan's commentary.
Yep. Not worried about anything. Not one bit. Nope. Nothing.
Yep. Because his buddy Flair was going for the title later. He's talking about going to the celebration. Yeah. I mean, all the time it's about Sherry. Like, holy cow.
There's the one fun thing about the entire WrestleMania 8 is the constant Bobby Heenan being worried as shit out of his mind for Ric Flair's match in the main event, which builds the importance of the Ric Flair match the whole time, I suppose. But I think it's just, I don't know, I thought it's always funny.
It's Royal Rumble 92 is the greatest rumble because of Heenan's commentary, and it's what makes WrestleMania 8 better than probably what it is. It's Bobby Heenan, man, I'm telling you. It's fantastic. So I wish I should mention here that I've been trying to find this match on the internet to post it, and I, for the life of me, cannot find it. There's a couple of pay sites that I have found it on, but I'm not going to subscribe to that because then I can't even share the thing, because if you want to watch it from what I shared, you have to pay for that too. So I even tried to find just the whole WrestleMania 8 to post that because it's the first match. You just got to get through the intro, America the Beautiful, and watch the first match, and I can't even find that, dude. So I apologize. If you have the WWE Network, that's pretty much the way you're going to find it. Other than that, I apologize for not posting it. But beyond that, so Shawn Michaels out next for this match.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels coming out. One of my more personal favorite entrances. And just because he looks so confident. Like, if I were to walk out, this is what I would do. You know what I'm saying? I put, like, one arm in the air kind of thing. I don't know. I just, like, maybe that's why I would do that. It's because I grew up watching Shawn Michaels. And so, I don't know. I just thought he comes out just looking like all confident and cocky and great.
Sure. For real. Yeah. It's super mullet going, but he's got the super mullet going. It's super 92 hockey mullet. Wrestling mullet, I guess, too. But, dude. I mean, the jacket with the... I guess they call them kind of cow prints on his tights, but they're striped, and he's got the earring, and he's got the chains, and I mean, it's, you're right, arm in the air, walking slow, just kind of getting like a duck lips almost kind of look at him, just being the cocky dude. It's like perfect, perfect, good Shawn Michaels, and you know, this is fresh heel Shawn, so they did a good job there. And he got Sherry, you were going to say Sherry?
Yeah, he's got Sherry with him helps tremendously. Her singing the theme. I mean, like you said, it's fresh, so it's fun to see this new. He's really a new character, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. You know, the boy toy. You know,
for real. Yeah, it was great, and yeah, for latter day Shawn Michaels fans, he sang his own entrance music, "Sexy Boy." But the very first incarnation of that, which we hear here at WrestleMania 8, is Sherry singing it, which was written and produced by Jimmy Hart, in case you want a little factoid. So there you go. Jimmy Hart wrote the song, had Sherry sing the lyrics. Then when Sherry left WWE, they obviously didn't want her voice anymore, so Shawn became the guy doing it. So yeah, maybe we'll hear it later. We'll see.
What's funny about the song is when you hear her version, and you've known his version, or either way, her version just makes more sense.
It does, because it's, I think he's cute, I think he's sexy, he makes me, whenever I'm around, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, because, like, she's singing about it, and I was like, with her singing, like, even with her mediocre vocals, like, as is, I was like, this song is better this way, this song's pretty great, you know? It's just like, it's this new character, this new great music, with this new, you know...
It's weird that he never got different music, because he had DX music, but he pretty much stuck with the HBK music even through his heel run in the late 90s, and then he came back in the early 2000s, and even until like his retirement, man, he still used the freaking Heartbreak Kid Sexy Boy music when he was like God loving Shawn Michaels. Anyway, yeah. So it's just here's the root of it, man. It's the first time you hear it on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So I also want to mention, because I forgot when we were talking about the lead-up, this is Shawn Michaels' first singles match on a WWF pay-per-view ever, and Tito Santana's last singles match on a WWF pay-per-view ever.
That's a fun fact.
Fun fact. So Tito worked some dark matches, like at next year's Mania, he was in a dark match, and at SummerSlam, he was in a dark match, but he wasn't actually on the televised broadcast. So, but yep, so first for Shawn, last for Tito, so it tells you kind of where the future's going to go, right? I mean, so into the match itself, not a lot happens. I mean, they got some headlocks and takeovers and punches and a nice like springboard and some reversals, and Shawn takes a bump to the floor.
Yeah,
there's really not a lot to, like, you know, go crazy about.
Yeah, there's a nice cross body block from Tito early. He kind of gets to the headlock pretty quick. And the headlock takes it out of Shawn pretty quick, too. So it's kind of, gets down to the mat pretty quickly. I found myself looking away from the screen a lot. Not necessarily I was bored, but I was like...
It's classic early 90s opening match of the show. You know what I mean? Like, they can't do too much, but it's enough to get the crowd into it because it's the first match of the night, so the crowd's still going to be hot, so you don't have to do a lot. So they did a really smart there. They didn't take any big high spots or kind of take away from stuff that might happen. They did go to the outside of the ring twice, which I thought was kind of interesting. And one of those times was a really big bump from Tito, man. Like, he kind of flings him over the top, and that's the first time I was like, that's an old dude taking that bump.
Yeah.
Apparently not that old.
Yeah, not that old. Or honestly, like, pretty spry, actually, when you think about it.
Son of a bitch. Did you notice the reverse crescent kick from Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, for sure. That was, I mean, the crowd liked it too. That was one of the better spots of the whole thing. So yeah, he finally fights out of the headlock situation, Shawn Michaels' headlock, and he gives him the big elbows to the breadbasket. Some of the worst elbows to the breadbasket I've seen. It's fine though. It's a big arena show, so you can do that. The reverse crescent kick, as you say, Sweet Chin Music, as it was later to be called, was on the money.
Yeah, it was good, and it was sold really well too. So, and like you said, the crowd was super into it. So, yeah. Did you notice when Shawn Michaels was trying to go for his finisher at that point? It was like that. Kind of like a back suplex type thing.
Yeah.
It's actually called a teardrop suplex, in case you didn't know that. And that was Shawn Michaels' initial finisher when he was a heel on his first heel turn. Teardrop suplex.
I thought it was called a slingshot suplex.
I don't think it's a slingshot. I think it's a teardrop. Pretty sure.
I think it was called a slingshot suplex, I'll tell you that. Because I remember it.
Maybe, but I think the actual name of the move is a teardrop suplex.
Okay. Well...
Like, not what they gimmick called it. I know. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Well, I'm saying, how would I know it's ever called a some nerd like you knows it's called a teardrop suplex, whereas that's like a slingshot suplex to me, because that's what they called it 25 years ago. Nerd!
It's a fucking teardrop suplex. Flying Forearm, the old finisher from Tito.
Oh, the old Flying Jalapeno.
The Flying Jalapeno, and Sean smartly rolls out of the ring so he can't pin him off of it, which is not Tito's finisher anymore, but it was for the previous 10 years. So, I wrote at this point, crowd was pretty good. Like, yeah. Sean's flying all over and just bumping like crazy for Tito, like just flip-flopping and flying, and the crowd was like into it for nothing happening. Good job, everybody.
Yeah, Sean doing Sean things, looking like he's getting killed, looking at everybody, making everybody look good.
I don't know what the name of his actual new finisher is for El Matador Tito Santana.
Is it the Flying Burrito?
I don't know. Freaking Gorilla says what it's called, but I have no idea what it is. And then I think Bobby Heenan calls it the something Pace Picante.
He does call it the extra hot Pace Picante at one point. He called it, when he slingshot over the top, he called it the Flying Burrito. And then he called it something the... Extra hot Pace Picante.
1992 racism coming out. Good job, everybody. I mean, he's the heel announcer. If he's allowed to, he could. They could not say that shit in 2021. Imagine that Dominic Mysterio, I'm going to use somebody else because fuck that guy. Lindsay Dorado does a slingshot over the top onto somebody, and then Corey's like, it's a flying burrito. That dude's off the air next week. You know what I mean? Like, they can't say that shit, but Bobby Heenan. It's all good.
We're all laughing, though, when it happens, though.
It's still funny, but, I mean, it's all the same shit that Jesse Ventura would say, too, let's be honest, because Jesse Ventura would do the same thing.
Well, if I can't make a racial slur, neither should a corporation be able to.
So the finisher of this match just kind of comes out of nowhere?
Yeah, well, he does, they're on the apron, and he sort of, like, goes to body slam him. In or over or something? How'd it go? I forget.
So Tito's trying to like body slam Shawn Michaels, and Shawn grabs the top rope with his arm, and they kind of sway back and forth because he's like holding onto the top rope, and it almost like it's supposed to like throw Tito's balance off, and then Shawn lands on top of him, and it pins him, yeah. And they kind of cover it up by being like Tito hit his head on the mat. But that was a finish. It wasn't a small package. It wasn't a victory roll. It wasn't like that little off the rope roll up. Like, he landed on top of him and pinned him.
Yeah, it was over. So, okay.
But it's good. The crowd reacted. They booed. And yeah, you get Shawn Michaels posing with Sherry. And Sherry was, I didn't mention this either, Sherry's super into the match, like super helpful on the outside, yelling for Shawn. And even at one point yelling like, pin him! Pin him! With her shrilly voice that I'll never be able to replicate. But she gets to celebrate with Shawn in the ring, who's posing like crazy.
There was a good Sherry spot early in the match, mid-match, actually, when Martel does take the big bump outside, I think is what you're talking about.
And she just said Martel.
I say Martel.
Sherry Martel. Or Rick Martel.
Did I say Martel?
Yeah.
When Tito gets thrown outside the ring, and Sherry goes, like, is, like, walking around, like, but doesn't touch him, but looks like she's going to, like, definitely might. Because that's kind of like what she does. I thought that was a nice thing. I don't know. I thought it was...
You're fucking wrestling nerd. You're a wrestling nerd just came out. I need you to understand that. You call me a wrestling nerd. You, I don't know. It was a Freudian slip because you said Martel. So it's one of two ways. It's either Sherry's last name or it's Tito Santana's ex-tag team partner. So, like, you fucking don't call me a wrestling nerd because you did the same thing. And you didn't even realize you did it. Like, I had to search mine out. That came from your brain. That was you, so don't call me on that shit. Anyway, this match is 10 minutes and 38 seconds from bell to bell, which is nice for an opener, considering what they did. 10:38, pretty good. And I don't know. I don't have much. I mean, they pretty much end it, and they go to an interview segment, so there's not a whole lot of fanfare for it.
It goes to LOD with Paul Ellering, UP200 legend.
Paul Ellering's debut. Yeah, Paul Ellering's WWF debut right there. And yeah, UP200, sled dog guide. Did you know that this match is the only heel victory at WrestleMania 8?
I did not. Wow.
I didn't either. And then I thought about it, and it's totally true. So spoiler on WrestleMania 8, but this is the only heel victory at WrestleMania 8.
Huh.
Yep.
So talk about a fan service WrestleMania.
Yeah, no kidding. So, I don't have much more to talk about it, man.
Me either.
I don't know if there... I mean, other than to rate it. We got to rate it on actual HBK for an HBK match in his first match as HBK. You go first this time. I went first last time.
I don't know. It's not offensive, but it's certainly not memorable in any real particular way, except for that it's the first HBK match, and so it's like for reference point, like go back. Okay, here was HBK at the beginning. Right, okay, so, like, that's that. But, I mean, other than that, it doesn't do much for anybody. He pushes along Shawn Michaels as a singles competitor. Great. Two HBKs.
I agree. Two. I almost went 1.5, but I think it's a 2. It's not a bad match. It's not one of the stinkers where you're like, like, when we got it, it wasn't like, oh, we got this match, this is going to suck. We've had those before. It was like a sweet. You know, it's a nostalgia thing for us, too, and I think today's fan watching it would be pretty bored, you know? I think that you would, if you catch someone that's trying to watch NXT and AEW every week and you give them this match to watch, they're probably going to be like, eh, you know?
Yeah, I actually did watch this one with my wife. She said that if this match was shot the way that they shoot wrestling now, it would have been much more exciting. Like, she's like, some of the...
That's a good point.
There was a pretty good backbreaker. He caught him into a backbreaker in that match, and it's like not facing the hard camera. It's kind of like away from the action. And, you know, because it's 1992, so they only had like one guy on the floor and the hard camera, and that was about it, so...
That's a good point. It's way less produced in that sense where they don't have the camera in a spot to catch it every time. You're right. I'm not sure it would have made it like a 4 or 5-star match, but it might have bumped it up a little bit. But yeah, you're right. So, I mean, 2. It's middle of the road, but it's on that lower end spectrum. So, there we go.
Yep.
Still, you know, it's good to see Shawn Michaels. I mean, it's worth seeing this match for the early Shawn Michaels HBK shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Perfect heel. So, hey, want to pick one for next time?
Holy shit, do I ever, buddy. Let's go.
This is your favorite part. So 358 is our max. I choose 0 as our minimum. If by some chance we get 0, we get to pick whatever we want, whether it's a match, an interview segment, an America the Beautiful, whatever it is. Are you ready?
I am ready.
54.
Uh-oh. Now we're getting old. 54. We've had it.
We have. Where was it?
It's Mr. Perfect versus the Blue Blazer.
All right, we're going to do it again. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, 329. What a big jump.
329. Ooh, it's way up here. 329 is The Bar versus Strowman and Nicholas.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hey, we got to do it.
We do.
We got to do it. This is the whole point of the show, buddy.
This is the point of the show, because this is recent bullshit.
We won't talk too much because we'll save it for next week, but this is your tag team champions were The Bar. It's Sheamus and Cesaro and going against Braun Strowman, who didn't have a partner and said he was going to find somebody or make a partner or announce his partner at WrestleMania. And we'll tell you who Nicholas is next week. At least I'll be able to find this match to post it.
Yeah, you shouldn't have a hard time finding it.
I have some good facts about this match, though.
Do you? Well, that's good.
I do.
I have some.
I know who Nicholas is. Do you know who Nicholas is?
I do not.
Cool. We'll save that for next week then. Get a little bit.
I love a good teaser.
Yeah, a little teaser. Real quick, I want to shout out our guys over at the Fat Guy Sports Talk. Aaron, TJ, Tyler, Grant. I appreciate the shout out the last couple times shared on the Facebook page. So if you want to give those guys a listen, they have a new episode that came out on the 6th. They're previewing the Super Bowl. My favorite part of their show is they do some trivia each week. So this week they did some good Super Bowl trivia. And I like that I don't know half of them, but know more than Tyler. So that makes me happy. So I'm sorry, Tyler. I had to get that out there. So I just want to shout out to those guys. And you can find them pretty much everywhere podcasts are, except for Stitcher, because fuck Stitcher, basically. So Fat Guy Sports Talk. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Let's get out of here on this one. We got this match. We got to wrap it up. So Tito Santana, you know, a legend in the business, Hall of Famer, right? Should be.
Yeah, yeah, he is. 2004 Hall of Famer.
Legend, Hall of Famer, but you didn't do so good. I want to congratulate Shawn Michaels on winning the match and on his way to a great career. But El Matador,
you're fired. I fucking had after the match of what they did after the WrestleMania. Probably doesn't really matter. I was going to bring up that Shawn Michaels on the European tour right after WrestleMania. Shawn Michaels was the challenger for Randy Savage's title on the European tour. And then he eventually won the Intercontinental title that fall. And then he went on to greatness. And that this is, well, we already talked about being Tito's last pay-per-view match. And then a year later in August 93, he was no longer employed. So if that shit doesn't matter, we can say fuck it and I won't say it.
Did you just say it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well.